welcome to episode 383 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
And this is Nick.
And it's time for another Secret War Saturday. So this episode, we're going to be talking about Secret Wars 2, Issue 3, The Beyonder Conquers the World.
What a classic issue that should totally be turned into a film without any context whatsoever.
So, you remember me talking about a certain scene in Secret Wars 2 that kind of sums it all up for me?
Yeah.
It turns out it's this issue. I didn't notice it when I was flipping through the other day.
Which one of the many scenes is it that are completely odd?
So, after I do the synopsis, we'll see if you can figure out which scene that it is. So,
sounds good.
Let's just dive right into the madness. I have said that overall, I don't think any of the covers for Secret Wars 2 match kind of the iconic stature of the covers from the original Marvel superhero Secret Wars. This one might come close. It is a pretty good looking cover with a Beyonder kind of in the background and kind of has the world in his hand, so to speak, and all the heroes are kind of attacking him, Earth in the background. But I see Black Knight there, and Wonder Man. They didn't show, and Scarlet Witch for that matter. They didn't show up in, and Star Fox, and Tigra, and Hercules. None of them showed up in the original Secret Wars, but they're showing up here. But of course, none of them are even in the story, so it's kind of...
Yeah, you say it's one of the best covers of Secret Wars 2. It's like also one of the less interesting, like less exciting adventures of Secret Wars 2, I hope. Because
yeah.
Mostly about fashion sense.
Somewhat, that is true. So, all right, on to the creative team. Written by Jim Shooter. Pencils are by Al Milgram. Inks are by Steve Lea Aloha. Colors by the imitable Christy Scheel. Letters by Joe Rosen. And this issue starts off with a Beyonder. He's literally sitting on a street corner. So apparently when he vanished at the end of Secret Wars 2, number 2, after turning the building into gold, he just wandered over to a street corner, sat down, and went to sleep. So he's got a cop coming up on him saying, "Hey, buddy, this is no parking zone. What are you, deaf? Get up." Pokes him. Beyonder's like, "Why do so many first encounters with others begin with an intense experience?" Which I suppose is his word for unpleasant. So based on the strangeness of the Beyonder's reactions, after the cop tells him, "Why don't you go home? Where do you live?" He says, "I'm alive right here, right now." "That does it. Let's see him some ID." "Yeah, where are you from?" So the Beyonder actually shows him shows him his dimension. He shows him where he's from through a portal that he opens up. And the guy's like, "There's just a hole. It's emptiness." And he's kind of like starstruck. And the Beyonder's like, "Of course it's empty because I am here." So the cop wanders off. "Oh man, I need a drink." So the Beyonder's on his merry way. And as he's walking, he meets a working girl, let's say. And he's still tired. He's yawning. And she's like, "Hey, you should get a room at that little, hotel over there. That little, does she even call it a hotel? Yeah, get a room at the Columbus Hotel over there and get a good night's sleep. I'll even tuck you in." And Beyonder's like, "Yes, that's a great idea." She's like, "Good, let's see some cash first." He's like, "I understand." He's all excited that somebody's saying something he actually knows about. And he's like, "Cash stands for gold." He creates a gold bar from thin air. And she's like, What? Who are you trying to fool? Nobody can make gold out of thin air." So he just drops it on the ground with a thud. He's like, "Stay away from me, weirdo." And she starts to walk away. And he's like, "But you told me you were holding up the wall." He's like, "Yeah, so you do it, turkey." And so he makes some supports to hold up the wall. And the working girl's like, "Oh my God." And goes running off, yelling for her pimp. "Chulo, help!" So meanwhile, Beyonder, too tired to walk, teleports himself over to the hotel. Says, "I'm weary. I need a room." The very handsome desk clerk says, "Keep your shirt on. I'll give you a room. You can pay in the morning." All the while thinking to himself, based on the clothes this guy's wearing, he's got to be rich. I'm going to go and rob him later. So the Beyonder heads upstairs, finds the door that has markings on it that match the markings on his key. Not sure what to do once he gets inside. He kind of
he floats up the stairs.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's kind of walking up the stairs.
No, look, he's above the banister.
I understand that, but it looks like he's still taking steps.
Yeah, I know. It's hilarious detail to point out.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't know how to use stairs. He doesn't know how to use the door either.
That's why I'm really impressed, like, with panels like that. They're just like, here's how crazy he is without us even telling you, like, he is crazy.
Yeah, and he just materializes through the door as well. And, of course, he's not going to sleep on the bed because he doesn't know what a bed is. So he just kind of succumbs to the crushing downward pressure and gets in a horizontal position, closes his eyes. Several hours later, he's awakened. And there's a guy in the room. Hi, kid. Allow me to introduce myself. We got Smurfette, the bodyguard. We got the bookkeeper, Millie, the purse sheriff. I don't know what mobster takes his bookkeeper around with him, but whatever. The mobster's name is Vinny. And there's Chulo and Toots. Toots was the girl that was holding up the wall that the Beyonder met. And he says, yeah, so Chulo found this gold brick and probably thought twice about it, but eventually called me, and I'm here to discuss this. So I have a feeling this is some story, kid, so lay it on me. Who are you? And the Beyonder says, I shall. And then proceeds to give...
Then he spends, 2 pages recapping Secret Wars.
Yes, 2 full pages. So in case you didn't read Secret Wars, here we are.
And then another full page recapping the rest of Secret Wars 2.
Yeah, it is. It's totally 3 pages worth of exposition. So I am not going to go into all of that because you can go back and listen to our episodes and you'll know exactly the story that the Beyonder is telling. What I will mention is he does say that there was some great event in our realm that opened a pinhole into his realm, and that's how he originally discovered Earth and started watching us. I don't know that that's necessarily, stated at any point in Secret Wars. I think maybe it is.
I don't know. I found that really interesting. I didn't remember that from Secret Wars. It felt like some good retconning right there. Yeah,
for sure. So once Vinny is up to speed, after the Beyonder finishes his tale and says, and now I am here. Vinny says, uh-huh. You know, maybe I can help you out, pal. What'd you say your name was? I am from beyond. How about I call you Frank? Is that okay? Yes. All right, Frank. I can see you're tired. Why don't you get some sleep? We'll talk later. Everybody else out. Not you, Frank. And Toots, you keep them company. Me? All right, Frank, here we are. Maybe you should try sleeping on the bed this time. Come here, honey. Meanwhile, outside, Vinny starts giving orders. I'm going to be sleeping in the room right next door. Make sure that nobody bothers the guy. Get all our guards down here, pay him double the usual, make sure no one disturbs Frank, especially that weasel up front. He's all yours, Smurfette. Smurfy, he calls him. I've got big plans for our friend in there, and I don't want anything to go wrong. So a couple hours later, when the Beyonder wakes up, the gangster kind of starts to show him the ropes. He's like, oh, there's a food place. That's what Beyonder says. He's like, hot dog stand now, man. We can do better than that. Let's get you a change of clothes. We're going to go to a good place to eat. So he takes him to a nice Italian restaurant. They get a bottle of wine. They get an antipasto. And the Beyonder's like, I find eating to be an intense experience. He's like, nonsense, kid. You'll enjoy this. Let's dig in. And he bites a glass.
Never learns.
And Toots is like, no, not like this. Don't eat the fork either, just the food. So the Beyonder's like, I understand. The light bulb goes on. He's so happy.
That's super wise advice that she thought that many steps ahead to be like, no, don't eat the fork either.
Yep. Some matter is to eat. Other matter is not. Good boy, Frank. Good boy. Like he's a dog or something. And then later at an ice cream parlor, look at him go. Yeah, he's like a kid with a new toy, so to speak. Don't you think, Vinny? And then that evening, he gets more lessons, and we can see that Toots is a little jealous. I could have handled this part of Frank's education myself, Vinny. You didn't need to bring in these other girls. Hey, Toots, the guy needs experience, right? We're giving him a crash course. Takes him over to the Upper East Side the next day to do some clothes shopping. Man's got to have style, Frank. Those clothes you were wearing when we met weren't bad, but the mod look is what you need. Like Duran Duran or somebody. That suits you. Really? And Frank gets a last name here, too. As the tailor says, just hold still, Mr. He says, I am from beyond. Bayonne? Nice town if you like Jersey. But what's your name? Frank. Hold still, Mr. Frank. I think he's now Frank Bayonne. So,
but he said Mr. Frank.
True.
Maybe his name is Frank Frank.
But later they call him Mr. B, I think.
Mm.
So I think that his last name is Bayonne. So anyhow, Vinny definitely takes, I don't want to say takes advantage of the Beyonder, because he is teaching him a lot, but he definitely takes advantage of the situation. He has the Beyonder go around and rough up the guys that are trying to muscle in on his rackets. He sends all his girls, the girls in his stable, to be touched by the Beyonder to heal any diseases that they might have. He has the Beyonder create gold out of thin air. The Beyonder cures little Vinny's dyslexia and also manages to revert Vinny's wife's body back to what she looked like when they got married.
So those last two were just kindnesses.
Probably like 80 pounds lighter. And
that's so silly.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. But Vinny's like, Frank, you old son of a gun, you're earning your keep. Tomorrow, I'm going to take you shopping. And we see that this is where we discover the Beyonder's love of gadgets. He's on a motorcycle. Ah, it makes noise. Propels one along. It's so interesting. It's as interesting as the hot-making device and the cold-making device and the vegetable-chopping device. Vinny's like, oh, you like gadgets, kids. I'm a horse racing fan myself. Let's go to the track. So they head to the track, and looks like Vinny's nag is going to lose. But the Beyonder's like, I'll make him win. Vinny's like, nah, Frank. Winning's usually good, but if you take the sport out of it, it's no fun. The Beyonder's like, sport? Yeah, taking chances, doing it the hard way, gambling. So he takes him to an underground casino so he can learn all about gambling. And then days later at an expensive east side penthouse. Yeah, you're looking good, Frank. I like the new hairstyle. It's real mod, like Michael Jackson or something. And he does indeed have a Michael Jackson do. It's dark hair now instead of the blonde hair from this.
Was mod supposed to mean modern back in the 80s?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man.
Okay, that's so mod.
That's the style. So Vinny's like, hey, you know, guy's got to have his own place. And Frank definitely does. I'm going to go out and take care of business. And it's so funny just hearing the way the Beyonder talks. Well, a man's got to have a place of his own, right? I mean, he has learned not just the behavior, but also the lingo that Frank the mobster has taught him. So in a way, he's like an old throwback, you know? He looks very mod, but he talks like he's from the Rat Pack. Next, he says, a man's got to take care of business, right? Right, kid. Why don't you stop by my house later? We'll talk, okay? Sure, Vinny. Catch you later. And then, good morning, Arthur, he says to the doorman. And see, that's where it says, morning, Mr. B. See, the doorman says that. So that's why I was thinking maybe his last name's probably
Bayonne. You're right.
Good catch by me, yeah. So anyway, usual route today. Beyonder's going around basically collecting the kind of the protection money, I guess, or Vinny's cut of this crime and that crime and whatever is going on, whatever his cuts are. But in the back of the limo, there's like tons of gadgets, right? He's into gadgets. And he tells his driver, Elliot, stop by Radio Shack, right? Not to date. Today it would be Best Buy or maybe Fry's. But here it's Radio Shack. I need some more tapes for the VCR. Dated. Batteries for the Walkman. Dated. Some floppy disks. Dated. For the Macintosh. Dated. All very much. All those terms. VCR, Walkman, floppy disk, Macintosh. All very much of a time.
At least I'm old enough to understand all those terms. I'm young, but I'm 30, so I get all those. I get Radio Shack.
So the driver takes off. He says, sure, by the way, your breakfast is in the fridge. A vanilla egg cream and two Klondikes, just as you ordered, sir. The Beyonder does not exactly eat healthy here. Two Klondike bars for breakfast. So as Elliot takes off, he asks, will you be needing more things to chop up in your Cuisinart, sir? As the Beyonder chugs down his vanilla cream. And apparently he spilled some on his hand, too, because his hand's all yellow. He's chopping up carrots in the Cuisinart, and he says, "Not yet. I still have vegetables and some styrofoam left." So ridiculous. So he stops by a barbershop first. Lots of action this week. Hey, Luigi? "Oh, yeah. Here's the main office's cut. Good thing I'm a bookie. I wouldn't make such a good living just cutting hair." And the Beyonder, without skipping a beat, "Ah, but you're a barber, Luigi. Your business is always growing, right?" Ba-dum-bum.
There's no way he's that clever that quick.
Hanging out with Vinny, man. He's got the old school mobster sense of humor.
It's true. I'm sure Vinny has all the best puns.
Maybe he got him from Little Vinny. Maybe Little Vinny's a punster. So then he heads to the dock, helps the dock worker there separate all the cocaine from the bales of cotton. And then as he's cruising around the corner of 26 and Park, he runs into Toots and says, "So how are ya?" "Oh, fine, you know." And we can tell that Toots really has a thing for the Beyonder, for Frank, as he drives away. So soon at Vinny's Saddle River estate, the Beyonder shows up and Vinny gives him the old sock on the chin. "Glad to hear it. You're doing real good. You're making this old man proud of you. You're like a son to me, Frank." But he says, "Hey, I taught you everything I could. You're getting too good. You're too big to be cooped up in a small pond like my turf. It's time you struck out on your own. You know, a man's got to know his limits, but you don't really have any limits. So it's time for you to move on. I'm going to miss you, kid. If you ever need advice or anything, I'm here, okay?" He's like, "See ya, Vinny." I'm kind of surprised that he, you know, he's learned a lot from Vinny. Obviously not all of it good, because he is so naive and so gullible. He's kind of taken it as, you know,
sure,
what this guy tells me, this is the way the world works. But at the same time, he has learned a lot just about everyday stuff, you know, like dressing and clothes and how to eat properly and things, you know, things that he needed to know. So, you know, Vinny's not all bad. He may be a small-time criminal, but he's not all bad. You know, he definitely took the time to take the Beyonder under his wing. Not that he didn't gain advantage of it, but, you know, more so than the heroes. The heroes could have really taken a page out of Vinny's book. But I'm a little surprised that he's so willing to be like, "All right, Frank, see ya."
Well, he said that to everyone. I still don't think he has an emotional connection with everyone. And I also find it fascinating that you say that about him, when whatever also Vinny has taught him is also going to set the Avengers' fate going forward.
Yeah, whether Vinny's true. A good guy or not. And he does pretty much do whatever Vinny tells him. So maybe it makes sense. So anyway, a few days later, he's got his own Long Island mansion with a helicopter. He's flying out to his hydrofoil in the Atlantic, the third biggest hydrofoil craft in all of the Atlantic. And the Beyonder says, "I know. I also bought the first and second biggest. So he's hanging out on the boat with all these girls. He's put on quite a bit of weight in a short amount of time, because all the guy does is eat, you know, like he's never eaten before. He's never tried all this stuff before. So he's definitely a glutton. So like, "Yeah, is it true you can make gold by magic? Now that you're here, we can really start having fun." Beyonder says, "Yes, but first the world's best chef is in the galley making us lunch to go with the best champagne in the world." And the girls are like, "Oh, no wonder you have this cute little tummy." And it's not exactly a cute little tummy. He's quite large. And the other girl's like, "I adore it. How darling." Beyonder says, "I sense that your words do not match your thoughts. You actually find this accumulation of body fat repugnant." And they're trying to convince him, no, really, it's fine. He says, "No matter. It is easily removed by reducing it to energy." And just like that, he's thin with a six-pack again. Back to the old Captain America body. "There, now for lunch and dessert." "Oh, Frankie, you're amazing." It's beyond ridiculous. "I'm too fat. I'll just burn it all off, release it as energy." If only
it were beyond ridiculous.
If
the
only
Beyonder.
It was no pun intended, really.
Way to nail it, Marvel.
But really, I think that, wouldn't we all wish to be able to do that? I'm just going to eat whatever I want, drink whatever I want, get fat, and I'll just release the extra fat as energy.
In his case, he's more caring than I think the average man, because he sees they want him to be skinnier, so he gets skinnier. And yet he was already popular. I think the average man wouldn't even bother making himself skinny until he had to. Beyonder's like, I'm in the right place. Either way, they love me, but I'm doing it for their benefit. The average man would be like, well, I'm getting attention. There's no reason to change anything about myself until later.
I don't know. I mean, it's so effortless for him. It's a matter of seconds. He might want to look good for his own sake.
No, but he even says, it was only when you read that I realized that, where he's like, they find me unattractive at this moment or whatever.
That is true. He's not exactly vain. Anyway, he goes to the wheel of the hydrofoil and they say, where are we going now? Oh, it's time for business. There's a guy, he's called the Kingpin. He works out of offices in Manhattan. He's the most powerful crime lord in the world. There's hardly an illegal operation on the East Coast that he doesn't own a piece of or have control of. And other small crime bosses like Vinny pay Kingpin percentage. I'm going to meet the man and muscle in on his operation. So again, it's if he hadn't run into Vinny, if Vinny hadn't taught him the ropes, this would never be anything he would think to do. But it is kind of cool to see the Kingpin brought low so easily. He just strolls right in and the Kingpin's like, who's so stupid as to break in here? I don't know how you got past my guards, but I'm going to crush you with my bare hands. No, you won't. Here's all your people, and now they all work for me. I am all powerful. The Kingpin's like, you are, I can feel it. And now I'll keep you as my lieutenant, but you'll take orders from me and give me 90% of your take. And Kingpin's like, I can't refuse. My will is, the bounty hunter says, mine. But it's not enough just to have the Kingpin's corner of the world. Because the bounty hunter says, that was too easy. I'm meant for bigger things. But now what? So he gets the president to turn over the country to him, including all armed forces. Says, that's not bad. But why settle for just one country when I can rule the whole world by just deciding to? So he does. Just by deciding to. He now rules the world. Everyone worships him. But why should he limit his control to humans and other higher life forms? He can even have bacteria and viruses under his control. Why stop there? Even inanimate objects can be controlled. How simple to seize control of every molecule, every atom, every particle of substance in the world. Now everything is mine, the Beyonder says, as we see the trees, the flowers, the foliage, the animals, the ocean itself, the fish, and even the rocks of the earth all bow to the Beyonder. Meanwhile, cool in page. Denver, what's that?
I'm just saying that's a cool page.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. That Michael Jackson hairdo, though, man, I preferred him blonde, I got to say.
Gentlemen prefer. Yeah, everyone can take some fashion advice from Captain America. So,
so meanwhile in Denver, watching Three's Company is Owen Reese, the Molecule Man, and his girlfriend Marsha. And Owen asks Marsha, "You okay, baby?" "Sure. Why?" "Oh, I just noticed your molecules are being controlled by some outside force." She says, "They are? Golly, I feel okay." Owen looks around. Even the molecules of the popcorn's being controlled. There's only one person in the world that could be doing this. It must be the Beyonder. Or maybe I could do it. But I wonder why the Beyonder's doing it. I wonder what he's up to. And Volcano's like, what are you talking about, Owie? What's going on? Oh, the Beyonder's messing around, I guess. It's probably no big deal. Let me release you, and we can watch F-Troop. Oh, sweetums, I just love you. Oodles and oodles and oodles. Really? Really, Jim Sugar?
Here's a question for you. Now that you've been to Denver, does that Denver you see on the page look anything like the real Denver? That's like a house you see in San Francisco. We don't have brownstones like that at all.
Well, not only that, I don't remember when I was in Denver seeing the mountains so close to the city.
No, they look close as hell, but they're like 2 hours away? No, an hour away.
Anyway.
But yeah, the town definitely doesn't end and then mountains start. Yeah. That's for sure.
Anyway, on the next page, we have another montage scene where the one from beyond revels in his supremacy. He appears simultaneously to many thousands of men and women of great power and influence, all of whom humble themselves before him. So we see heroes and villains bowing before him. We see various leaders. I think that's supposed to be Gorbachev there on the left. Iron Man in his new armor, which just looks terrible. Iron Fist, Hercules,
Cap,
Thor, Cap, Star Fox, Thing, Captain Marvel, Iron Fist, Human Torch, She-Hulk, Ultron, Cyclops,
Reagan?
Yeah, Dazzler, Vulture. not sure who the guy is with his mouth open to the right, the curly hair. Also,
he looks like he's the guy who works for Jameson, the Daily Bugle. Oh, I don't know why he'd be on this page.
Joe Robbie.
It looks like Robbie.
Not Joe Robbie, but Robbie Robertson.
Yeah.
Looks a little like him. A little too much hair, though. Finally, however, one of the mighty who pay him homage gives him pause. So he's interacting with this character, Circuit Breaker. Apparently, she's from Transformers number 9. I read Transformers number 9. I don't remember her. But anyway, she's a human.
They let a Transformers character cross over into an actual Marvel comic.
Yeah, man, we got to get more people reading Transformers. Transformers weren't huge yet at this point. They were just starting to catch on. Anyway.
It's still shameless.
Completely. She says, I was crippled by a robot. Without this circuitized exoskeleton, I would be helpless with it. However, I have the power to move and, better yet, avenge myself. I think she means I would be helpless without it. Anyway, she hates robots, especially those who think and can act of their own volition and seem to be alive. They're not alive. They're soulless mockeries of life. Cold, dead steel. And for all their intricate programming, they have no true free will, no spirit, no creativity, because they lack the spark of life. And the Beyonder says, I see. She says, how else may I serve you, sir? That'll be all. Thanks. So later, at his posh mansion in Brazil, as he's sitting on a giant fur futon of some sort, I guess, one of the girls is asking, what's troubling you, sir? You know, I own everything. I rule everything. I control everything. Virtually every particle of matter and erg of energy on the planet. Yet I'm uncontent. Perhaps I should ask Vinny why this is so. So he transports himself to Vinny. And Vinny's like, I don't know. I can't answer that. But I learned from your example. I followed your instructions and carried them out to their logical ends. Now what? Vinny's like, I can't help you, sir. Honestly, I can't. Beyonder says, then I shall go elsewhere. So he goes looking for Toots. Toots, you taught me much that first night. Perhaps there's yet one more thing that you can teach me. Of course I shall, sir, if I can. I possess all there is. Why is it not enough? Do you know? Toots says, I know that every bit of me is yours. I worship you. Enough. Perhaps in controlling everyone, I have somehow extinguished the spark Circuit Breaker spoke of, making all humans like the automatons she despises, slavish to my will as though it were a program. Maybe if I free your will, and so he frees Toots and she's over the moon to see him, says, you know, you told me that I was just a person like everybody else. You know, you see all of us as kind of the same, and that gave me kind of the inspiration to kind of pull myself up and stop being a sleaze. Apparently that's her word for hooker. So I could be like other people, like decent people. God, I love you. And I know we could never be together, Frank. You've got a whole life of catching up to do, but you know, so do I now. Goodbye, Frank. Think of me now and then. And the one from beyond ponders, then releases the world and everything in it, leaving but only the vaguest shadow of a memory of his conquest, and that in only the subtlest of minds. So then he decides to head to Avengers Mansion. Jarvis answers the door. He says, I need to speak to the Avengers. Jarvis is like, who are you? I am from beyond. He should have just said, I'm Frank Bayonne, but he says, I'm from beyond. And the Beyonder says, I've heard of you. Come in. The Avengers aren't here, but you can wait for them. It's like, is there anything I can get you while you're waiting? He says, perhaps conquering the world I found did not bring an end to my desire, but instead caused a greater sense of unfulfillment, of incompleteness. Possession and powers do not bring fulfillment. But I did have a rewarding experience, the gratitude of another being. So I'd like to know more of this. And it seems that the Avengers have power and they don't use it to dominate. They use it to help people. And Jarvis is like, yes, indeed. Virtue is its own reward. Then perhaps right away I should begin working with the Avengers. And Jarvis says, I'm afraid that wouldn't be possible for a while. They're in the Skrull galaxy. And the Beyonder's like, I know where that is. I'll go join him. And Jarvis is like, maybe I should not have mentioned where they were. I hope he isn't troublesome. And then next panel, we see that the Beyonder has returned hours later to Manhattan's Fifth Avenue, very depressed. And he says, man, I really made a mess of that. It was horrible, disastrous. Oh, well. But another possibility occurs to me. I think I comprehend at last something Vinny explained to me about sport and gambling. Perhaps it is the trying, not the doing, in which fulfillment lies. I have a plan, a game to play, but first I'll need a lawyer. One used to legal work, one with no fear of anything. the Avengers lawyer, Matt Murdock, is perfect. I'll go see him right now. So, indeed, the story does continue in Daredevil, Daredevil 223, where the Beyonder needs the services of Nelson and Murdock's attorneys at law. It also crosses over into Hulk 312, where the one from beyond learns many other dimensions and hidden realms, which are part of the many-layered universe. And we also learn the length and breadth of a man's soul trapped in the body of a savage green Goliath. Because remember, at this time, the Hulk has pretty much reverted to the mindless brute that he always was previous to basically right before Marvel Superhero Secret Wars when, you know, when that started, we saw it was Banner in control of the Hulk's body. But we saw throughout the series how he started losing control. And then, of course, in Avengers 260, you can find out just what happened in the Skrull Galaxy. It's not a pretty sight. And then next month it'll be Secret Wars 2, number 4. So, yeah, the frivolity continues, the madness that is Secret Wars 2. It's really just not very good, to be honest. And it's too bad because the first one really holds up so well, and the second one not so much. I won't say that the second one is not entertaining. I won't say that this miniseries is not entertaining. It's entertaining in an entirely different way. The first one captures such a great feel of the Marvel Universe, especially the Marvel Universe of the Bronze Age. And you get a real sense of the heroes and their motivations, with the possible exception of Wolverine and Professor X that, you know, we talked at length when we did the Marvel Superhero Secret Wars episodes about how their characterization is off. But this series, I go back to just not sure what exactly Shooter's trying to do. You know, it's like he was preaching about consumerism and capitalism in the first issue. Second issue was more about greed with the whole focus on money and gold. And now, I don't know, is he making a statement on crime? I mean, you read through this issue and you realize this issue is really all about the Beyonder, which, you know, maybe you needed one to be all about the Beyonder. But no heroes even show up, not even a cameo. There's not a single hero in any of the pages of this book.
Yeah.
With the exception of when the Beyonder's given us the recap. Other than that, we meet thugs, we meet hookers, we meet Vinny the mobster, we see the Kingpin, Molecule Man, Volcana, but no heroes. It's so strange when you think about it, and maybe that's part of the reason that it doesn't succeed. Because you're telling the story of some unknown guy rather than focusing on the heroes the way that the first miniseries did. But again, I think it is entertaining, but just from the point of being so ridiculous and over the top and just funny, unintentionally humorous, I'd say.
So bad it's good.
So let me ask you though, Nick, did you figure out which moment it was that sums up Secret Wars for me that happens in this issue? Sums up Secret Wars 2 perfectly.
No. I want to think of the cheesiest moment possible, but it's hard to pick just one moment that was cheesy. So.
Yeah, it's when he burns the fat off his body.
That was my favorite part.
I mean, you don't know how many times over the years, whenever somebody, you know, I hear Secret Wars 2, that's the scene that always pops in my head. Oh, yeah, the Beyonder gets fat. The girls don't like it. And he just burns the extra fat off his body as energy.
Well, see, like you said earlier, you are fascinated with that superpower. Just like when I walk through the grocery store doors, I usually wave my hand as if I'm Magneto for no reason. you're like, I would love to just lose that weight with a wave of the hand. And I agree with you.
Yeah, I would be down for that superpower. Be able to eat anything I want, get as fat as I want, and then be like, abs. Yeah, but I would have to think long and hard if I had to have the Michael Jackson hair. If the Michael Jackson hair comes with that power, I don't know.
To be in perfect shape and like be able to reshape your body in every you want, any way you wanted, would be worth the haircut. I guarantee it.
Could I reshape the hair, or do I have to stick with that haircut?
You have to stick with the hair, but you can reshape any other part of your body. So you can be like super muscular without doing any like workout.
Yeah, that might be worth it. But if I had to have the clothes too, I mean, he basically is wearing the you know, the famous Michael Jackson red leather Thriller outfit, you know, with the purple shirt underneath it. It's his clothes are awfully bad. That's one thing. I guess when you think about it, it does make sense. Marvel Superhero Secret Wars was set on an alien planet, right? So that there weren't any like cultural touchstones because everything was alien. This one, the Beyonder's on Earth, and he's trying to fit in, so you kind of have to ground it in kind of the fashion and the touchstones of the time. But it does make for a very dated read, and I think that's part of the reason that this one doesn't hold up either, you know?
Right. From the Beyonder. But any one of his costumes are better than Peter Parker's like tank top that only goes down to like his midsection that he wore in one of the Secret Wars tie-ins before the first Secret Wars.
But again, he was on Earth. You know?
Yeah, but that's a more offensive 80s costume to me than this.
Yeah, I tend to
agree. I don't want to see Peter Parker's belly button.
I tend to agree with you, but again, and you know, part of it is the fact that the Beyonder is so naive, and so, you know, he's discovering the world as it was, you know, in 1985. So, of course, he has to have the, what did we say, the VCR, the Walkman, the Cuisinart. Well, I guess Cuisinarts are still around, but what else was the floppy disks for the Macintosh?
It's like all those time travel movies in the '80s too, where it was Search for Spot. No, Star Trek 3 or 4, and like the out of time movie, and a bunch of and Back to the Future was like everyone's going to the '80s these days.
Yeah, definitely. So I don't know. This is. For me, this is where reading this issue, seeing that moment where he burns off the fat. This I remember reading this off the rack and thinking to myself, okay, this story really went off the rails, and at no point is it ever going to be as good as the first Secret Wars. Like 12 or 13 year old me, or maybe I was 11. When did this come out exactly? I'm trying to remember.
The first one was 83, right?
Yeah, the first one was 83, so I think this is – I want to say this one's 85 or 86. 85, yeah, September 1985. So, yeah, 11-year-old me reading this issue realized, yeah, so this isn't very good. And I kind of knew that with issue 1 or 2, but I had hope that it could kind of get better, you know, maybe turn a corner or, you know, something happen and not really know, like, what the heck – what – exactly is Shooter trying to do? Like, what is he trying to is he trying to explore humanity through this guy? Because if so, he's not doing a very good job of it. You know, I think that humanity is more about emotion and feeling. And to your point earlier, even throughout this issue, he still doesn't have any emotional connection to anyone. Seems like maybe he's got a little spark of it with that gratitude thing with Toots, that interaction.
Yeah, I was thinking Toots.
But we will see it head that way in future issues. But again, even 11-year-old me is like, yeah, this isn't very good. And now that I've read issue 3, I realize it can't recover. It's not going to be any good. That being said, I kept buying it and all the crossovers because, you know, I was 11 years old and it was comics. So it would be interesting. There's not anywhere near as much coverage of this. You know, even now you can Google like Marvel Superhero Secret Wars and find tons of articles, retrospectives, people going back and looking at it, whatever. Much less so with Secret Wars 2. And you got to wonder if Jim Shooter would even remember, you know, it's been over 30 years. Would he remember like writing this? What was he trying to accomplish? But yeah, I mean, that's what we're here for, right? To analyze it and to talk about it and just about how ridiculous it is. And I think the way it all turns out is interesting enough, if not somewhat of a letdown, but we'll be able to analyze it once
we're... Let me say this. I think this is exactly the reason why more millennials should be into comic books. Because with all the 80s nostalgia, this stuff is great. It's so ridiculous and outlandish, and I think the current movies need to be more like this stuff. As a movie's first, comic second, learning to get into comics fan, I think we need more comic book movies that are to this level of ridiculous.
Like, yeah, I think it would actually. Think
people were complained about Spider-Man 3 were wrong because Spider-Man got a haircut and stuff like that.
Well, didn't you tell me that the Russo brothers are trying to make Secret Wars?
The Russo brothers and the writers of all the Avengers, I mean, all the Captain America movies and the Avengers Infinity War and Avengers 4, they're all their number one projects would be a Secret Wars movie.
Yeah, then we could have Secret Wars 2 based on the success of
That might be direct to like Disney streaming service, but I'd watch it.
I mean, I can only imagine like Secret Wars that they stayed pretty close to the story. It would go over really well and be really great. People would be like, oh, Secret Wars 2. Oh, this is going to be great. And I'm sure some people would hear rumblings about, oh, wait a second. And then they'd go in and watch it and come out going, what in the hell did we just see? Did that guy really just burn off his fat and make himself skinny? Really? Did he just turn that building into gold? Really?
Disney will make an R-rated film before they'll make a film like this.
Well, that might not necessarily be true.
No, because they say when they buy Fox, they're still going to keep Deadpool R-rated. I don't think they'll ever make a Secret... No one's making a Secret Wars 2 movie ever, let's be honest.
All right. Fair enough. Never say never.
Well, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, another thing that's interesting. So I don't think that it's very hard to find a trade paperback of Secret Wars, like Marvel Superhero Secret Wars. I think it's pretty much always in print. I don't think there's a trade paperback collection of Marvel Superhero or of Secret Wars 2. And if there is, if there has been at one time, I doubt that it's still in print. That being said, these issues are very inexpensive and easy to track down. You can find them in dollar boxes all the time. Well, maybe not all the time. I mean, Bronze Age books overall are becoming, you know, harder to find just as they get older. But that being said, I'm sure it's in the Marvel Unlimited, and I know it's on Comixology. So it's not quite as easy to track down these issues, but again, they're also not as – like I would tell anybody who wants to get into Marvel Comics, you know, whether it's because they are a fan of the movies or TV shows or they just – whatever, for whatever reason, like one of the books that you have to read, one of the stories you have to read to give you an understanding of the Marvel Universe and to be introduced to a lot of the characters is Marvel Superhero Secret Wars. It's a classic story. It stands the test of time. It's really, really good. I would never recommend Marvel Superhero or Secret Wars 2, you know, especially for a beginning reader, because it probably would just confuse them. Like, what the hell is this? But that being said, you know, if you do want to read it, there are places that you can track it down. Anything else you want to add about Secret Wars 2, number 3 here, Nick?
Here's one last pitch. Kevin Smith took a meeting this week, apparently, with Disney about either Star Wars or Marvel. He said he's not doing a movie. What if Kevin Smith were to be the one to do Secret Wars 2?
Secret Wars 2 as a TV show? A Netflix show?
Either way, just Kevin Smith handling that material because he's not an action director. He's a, like, here's some crazy crap director.
I'm
it would never happen. I'm just asking.
I'm very, as you know, I'm very, very, very behind on my Marvel movies.
It wouldn't even have to be real continuity. Just seeing Kevin Smith do this story.
I'm very behind on my Marvel movies. I've never seen any of the Marvel TV series, whether it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or any of the stuff on Netflix. None. I haven't seen any of them. Hoping someday to make time. That being said, if Kevin Smith were to make Secret Wars 2, I would watch it the instant it came out. I would try to get like sneak previews and watch. I can't watch a Kevin Smith Secret Wars 2 written and directed and produced series fast enough. It would be simply amazing. It would be so good. Kevin Smith's such a huge comic book nerd. He would be totally faithful and it would be amazing.
I think it's the best possible project for him, even though he's probably never going to do anything with Marvel. But I'm like, oh, this week's news tying to that. That's the first project I'd pair him with, is Secret Wars 2.
So the question is, who do you get to play the Beyonder?
Not part of his crew, unless it's like... You get Affleck.
Nah.
You let him redeem himself from DC, and you get Affleck.
Nah. I would be
Jason Lee?
I would be a little more... leaning toward Keanu Reeves because he plays the whole.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like,
that's a good idea. I was thinking from the Kevin Smith side, but yeah, Jason Lee, I mean, yeah, Keanu Reeves is a great choice.
I don't know. But the other thing is you really got to get somebody who can pull off blonde and then the dark hair, the Michael Jackson do. I don't know if that would work.
I mean, honestly, you'll have to pull Chris Evans back out of retirement and just have Chris Evans play Captain America and the Beyonder just for Kevin Smith. I mean, it's a dream scenario for all of us.
Chris Evans as the Beyonder.
Mm. Well, because he's Captain America already, so he should be playing the Beyonder half the time.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't have to have the Beyonder. I mean, you don't have to be that true to the story to have him copy
Kevin Costner.
Nah, he's too old. I was thinking maybe Neil McDonough, because I could definitely see him as the blonde Beyonder, but I've never seen Neil McDonough with dark hair. I think he might look weird.
Who's he again?
What would you know him from? I think he's been in some superhero. He was in
Wasn't he in Captain America?
I don't know.
First Avenger?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, so he's already been in the MCU, he's discounted.
You can't use him. All right.
It's a shared universe. Otherwise, I had another good idea for him. But it's,
yeah, he's dumb.
I would have said Jeff Goldblum.
He's dumb Duggan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Totally forgot about that. I thought of somebody else, and then what about Liam Neeson? He can play anybody.
Yes, done. Sold. You pitched me. We're making this movie or TV show right now.
I have it. Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. I hope you have the number for Disney, because I sure don't.
All right, maybe not. Maybe he's too old too. What about
Jared? No, he'd be a great choice because he's so weird in real life.
What about Jared Leto?
No, because he was just cast as Morbius today. And it's like, you can't play the Joker and Morbius, the living vampire. And like,
he got cast as Morbius? They're making him.
Sony's making a Morbius movie just like they're making a Venom movie separate from the MCU Spider-Man movies. And it's like, get over yourself, Sony. Let Jared Leto ruin another universe.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Venom, what about Tom Hardy?
That's not a bad choice. Tom Hardy's a good choice for any role. So.
May have to think on it a little bit more.
Chris Pine.
Yeah, I could see Chris Pine.
Because he's the only Chris not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Is he really?
Well, all the other Chrises are.
Oh, that's true.
Evans, Hemsworth.
What about...
Yeah, I know.
What about Zac Efron?
If it was a comedy film, absolutely. Because I love Zac Efron comedies.
Oh, you know who else might be good is Brad Pitt.
Oh, like a Tyler Durden-esque Brad Pitt?
Yes.
Either that or Zac Efron actually are my two favorite choices. And Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is a great choice.
This is a great choice. You know who else? Okay, like seriously, let's get serious for a minute. Like, who might actually be a really good choice? Alan Tudyk.
That would definitely be the Netflix version. Absolutely.
Or his buddy Nathan Fillion. I think Alan would be.
I think Alan Tudyk more than Nathan Fillion. But Nathan Fillion would also kind of fit the archetype we're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's Alan Tudyk.
Let's sell it to Netflix. They'll buy anything.
All right. We got to reach out to Kevin Smith first to make sure he's willing to do it. I guarantee he would.
Let's tweet him after this.
I guarantee he's read the story, but it may have been quite a few years. So, we'll reach out to him. We'll let you listeners know on the next episode what Kevin Smith had to say about. Maybe I can track him down at San Diego Comic-Con. Be like, hey, so we have this crazy idea. Like, we have any pull at all with Disney? Like, we could ever make this happen? We'd have to crowdfund it. Like, they're trying to crowdfund the remake of The Last Jedi.
Oh, God, that's so stupid. Our movie would be more successful.
Raise our $200 million and then go begging to Disney. Okay, we've raised $200 million to make this show. It won't cost you anything. Can we please use the characters? Disney executives would take one, like, flip through this series and be like, oh, hell no.
Not only hell no, but we also need to eliminate anyone who knows about the story, and you and I would be executed by the Disney.
Maybe we could do it as a fan film. get the whole thing made and then just release it all together and go into hiding. You know, we couldn't do it episodically because then by the time the second or third episode came out and everybody was raving about how crazy and over the top it was, we'd get a cease and desist letter from Disney and it wouldn't work out. So we'd have to have the whole thing in the can.
Yeah, no, we'd Netflix drop it.
Yeah, exactly.
You could drop it all one day and be like,
peace.
Enjoy. Audi.
All right, we've gone completely off the rails, so I think it's time to end the episode. So just a reminder, listeners, we are on iTunes and Stitcher. We really appreciate any reviews you can give us over there, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. It really helps raise the visibility so that when people look for comic book podcasts on iTunes, we're right there at the top. All past episodes of the podcast can be found at both of those places, as well as on lrmonline.com. If you do take a trip over to lrmonline.com, please take the time to check out all our other pop culture coverage on movies, TV shows, video games, all that kind of good stuff. We want to thank everyone for listening as always. Twitter.com/TheComicSource is where we can be found on Twitter. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. The day this is released, Saturday, June 30th, I will be at Amazing Las Vegas Comic Con in Las Vegas, Nevada. And then in just a couple short weeks, Manny and I will be at the Mothership, the con to end all cons, the Super Bowl of comic conventions. All the superlatives you can get it. I mean, every comic creator, publisher will tell you it's their busiest week of the year. It's when so much happens, not just announcements and things breaking, but so much gets done behind the scenes. So many creators, that's, you know, it's the place to network. It's the place where things are planned out, decisions are made. So it's definitely a big event, and I always recommend comic fans, if you can, get a badge to always, you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime trip. Go and check it out just once. For a lot of comic fans, you go once, and you then all of a sudden it's like a must-do, and you never want to miss it. So if you can't make it, be sure and follow along with all our San Diego Comic-Con coverage, both here at The Comic Source as well as over at lrmonline.com. So thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.